your Mahadevan.
Wow, you looked really annoyed for a second.
No, no.
What were you thinking?
No, I was thinking about, is it problematic to say handicapped?
Damn. I am, though, because I sprained my ankle.
Okay, still, I feel like that is also not, I think, I don't know.
It's handicapped, more handicapped than I've ever been in my life. This shit sucks. Fucking over it. I just want my ankle back, man.
That's fair. Give Tara her ankle back.
When is the word handicap offensive?
I feel like we just made it offensive, and now the conversation is making me nervous.
There's like a liberal definition that they've put on even video games. Like, if you have odds to something, like...
You can
like,
say...
If you're playing like a wrestling or a fighting game, but do, put that in there.
Do you say handicap still, or do you say like disabled, or... Or like there's even another word.
If you have a broken bone, you are handicapped.
Yeah, I think
right?
There's different meanings. Okay.
So it's like some people you can't say that. And I'm like, what
cane.
Do you mean?
I don't know. Does that count?
It just goes into what's PC. Like there's, you know.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
there's
I don't
another
think
word
you
for
were.
Able. It's like you don't want to be ableist. But I don't. I feel
right.
like.
I got you.
No, I don't know.
You mean I don't? You don't want to be a conduit to worse behavior?
Never that.
Exactly. But you can like you can speak and like let people know what you mean. People should be open to listening.
Well, I also wasn't
communication
offended,
is.
So.
You weren't a what?
I wasn't offended when you called me handicapped.
Well, I didn't. Good.
That's the start of it. That's good.
Yes.
Tara Mahadevan, how are you otherwise? How are you today?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I'm great.
All right, we are recording live and direct in the spaceship above and in the polar vortex that the city of Chicago is in the midst of.
Yeah, the river looks cool as fuck.
It does. Yeah, from this vantage point on the 18th floor of WGN Radio, the river does look like a broken mosaic. It's really beautiful, actually.
Oh, so poetic.
Okay, all right. Anyway, hey, Tara.
I can always count on you, my friend.
Tara, thank you so much. You're number one in my heart.
And he's flipping me off.
No, allegedly.
Y'all can't see
y'all
it,
can't
but
see
I'm
it.
Just letting you know.
Tara, you amp for our guests in the corner store
I
this
am.
Evening?
I feel like we've been wanting them for a while.
Yeah. These dudes, you know, last year they put out a really, I think, you know, because this was a 2018 project. Space Jam was 2018 and 2017.
That was 2017. But we put out
Pants
Time
in
Explained
Japan.
2018. We put out the Pants in Japan video in 2018 also.
Bet. So that was like one of the most, I think, concise and, you know, this duo is a well-matched pair. A producer and a rapper who go seamlessly together to make, I think, these futuristic and yet, I think, hard written jams. I mean it's melodic, it is atmospheric, and they certainly have contributed for a long time now, I think, to the sonic space in the city of Chicago and beyond. In the corner store tonight we have Kari and Mulatto Beats.
Thank you, man.
Welcome.
Fellas, welcome. Also, man, I feel like it's racist for me to say your name, so I just want to say that. Yeah,
I mean, that's always like a topic. That's crazy that I've actually been talking about this a lot lately because of the girl Miss Mulatto, but I don't know. When I got that name, it's because of like people just started calling me. It's not like no derogatory basis behind it or like a, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to make a political stance with it or anything. It's literally just like a nickname that I picked up and it fits. I don't take derogatory, you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like it's anything negative towards me or anything. I understand what the basis of the word was in the past, but that's not any way that I'm using it. So
yeah, of course. I might just say my man.
Yeah, my man.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Just that's say Devin.
Yeah, true. Yeah, well, listen, I don't know. No,
I was gonna say I also never introduced myself as that. Like that's something that people just started saying. But like I still to this day introduce myself as Devin. And if you know who I am, you know who I am. So
hey, let them know. Well, fellas, thank you so much. We are, as always, in the corner store, sipping off some of the spirits provided by our sponsor, Stolen Spirits. Are you guys enjoying your beverages thus far?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cheers and libations to y'all. Cheers. Thank you guys for being here.
We can reach.
Okay. Well, I can't reach, okay. So cheers.
Sorry, salutes.
Yeah, cheers.
And then in addition, Max, our snack tour, has gotten some incredible snacks for you this
evening. I believe we brought some snacks, too. We got the Flamin' Hot Doritos on deck.
Oh,
what?
Shit.
You guys brought... Snacks, what's your own snacks to the corner store?
Oh, they're in the car. Never mind.
Yeah. That was
snack,
really
a snack
amazing.
Friendly podcast.
Wait, that's only happened one other time. Who brought snacks?
Nichelle.
Oh, yeah.
Nichelle.
One upped us.
So, all right. Okay, so this is for my man. Max got you some Pringles, sour cream, and onion, a whole ass can, which seems
let's
like, you know, and you could open them now,
I mean,
you know, do your
Max
thing.
Max is about the supersize.
Yeah,
you know?
Max likes the big, snacks. And then in addition, the herbal tonic energy drink from Arizona.
Okay, let's get it.
Amazing.
Let's get it.
Okay. Nice.
All right.
It's necessary right now, Nicole, to take this back to the crib.
Okay, yeah, right. Because you said you didn't eat breakfast, so that's like a meal.
It's 5 right now, so.
Kari, for you, Max has gotten a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup mini whole ass pack. They're unwrapped, by the way. So
thank you.
It's just the Reese's raw version, I guess. And then in addition, a Vita Coco coconut water.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Let's stay hydrated.
I appreciate this. My daughter will really appreciate it.
Oh wow, you have a kid.
I have a daughter.
Yeah. How old is your daughter?
She's about to be 5 in April.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh. That's what's up. Wow.
So she's a Taurus. No.
I believe so.
Okay.
She'll appreciate the Reese's or she'll appreciate the cocoa water?
Probably both.
Salutes to her. Mm-hmm. Fellas, so much ground to cover, little bit of time. Just let's start with where you guys come from.
We start it off?
All right.
This is Kari speaking, by the way.
We both live hella places, so it's going to be kind of...
Yes, I'm Kari. I am a Chicagoan. Every time people ask me that, I have to say more than I want to say because I truly have lived everywhere in Chicago, like more than I have fingers, you know, more neighborhoods than I have fingers, and I could just go down the list forever.
And but, so why all the movement?
The movement, my parents had me young, and we've just been moving ever since. I've been moving since I was born. To this day, I have not lived in one place for more than 2 years. That's the longest I've lived in one apartment or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's interesting because I know the city very well. I've lived on the north side, south side, west side.
There's not many people who could really say that, to be
far
honest.
Far west side.
You know? Yeah, yeah. For real. I mean, because Chicago's such a, you know, deeply problematic, segregated city that, I don't know that a lot of people have that experience. So in some ways, that vantage point is, you know, incredibly unique, you know?
Yeah, I agree, because I've seen a lot of shit.
Right.
So it's cool.
Right.
It's really cool, man.
And what did your folks, what do they do? What did they do coming up?
Well, I think the moving from my, like how I moved started when I was born for both my parents, because like my dad's from the north side. My mom was on the west side and moved to the north side where she met my dad. But I'm sorry, what's the question you asked me?
What do they do coming up?
Oh, they, my mother... Right now, she's doing property management and real estate. My dad is an iron worker, local one iron workers.
Hey, yeah.
Very hardworking.
No
man,
shit, right? Yeah.
I should check on him and see.
My mom's a property manager, too. I didn't know your mom was a property manager.
Yeah.
You guys know each other?
I didn't know that. Yeah. Yeah, man, I got a similar story, though, too. I grew up in Jeffrey Manor. It was like 97 to Oglesby. Until I was like 9, and my dad passed away. And that's when we kind of... shifted towards uptown north side Rogers Park area. Grew up there a little bit, and then in high school I kind of shifted back towards Humble Park, like inner city area. So that's kind of where I'm at now, but my family's still in the Jeffrey Manor and my family's still in Rogers Park, but I live in between.
And your mom is a property manager and your pops?
Yeah. Oh, my pops passed away. That's why we first made that jump up north.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Appreciate it.
And where'd you guys go to high school?
I went to Lincoln Park for basketball.
Okay.
And I knew hella people that went to Vaughn because I lived up north for a portion. Like, my best friend, when I moved up north, ended up going to school with him and introduced me to Kari, introduced me to all the people that were rapping at Vaughn Steuben. So that's how we, like, first clicked up when we were, like, 15, 16.
Yeah, which is my kind of one of my next questions is how y'all linked.
Yeah. Pretty much through Parham and a couple of north side people.
When was Supreme Regime, right?
Yeah, Supreme Regime, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My Albanian homie, Parham Latovia.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I need some beats, dude. He was like, I got a guy at Lincoln Park. I went to Vaughn Steuben, like Devin said. And, shout out Parham.
Right. And so in high school, who were y'all and how heavy were you all individually into the, you know, a hip-hop scene before you all linked?
Okay. When you say who were y'all, like you mean like
what
deeply?
What kind of kids? Yeah.
What kind of kids?
What kind of kids in high school were y'all?
I mean, before high school, I was always like, kind of getting in trouble and shit, but we never had like a good basketball program at any of the schools I went to, so like I never like really took sports serious or anything like that. So when I actually got into 7th, 8th grade and started getting the leagues and getting noticed and I went to high school for it, I like full-fledged was in there. I was playing AAU, you know what I'm saying? That's what I was doing.
Is what you're saying.
I'm pretty solid, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't even smoking like that, you know what I'm saying, because I was taking hooping so serious in high school. But after that, you know, I didn't want to play D2 or anything like that, so I kind of just But we've been doing music since like the jump off high school. Like I always had roots. Like my brothers were always making beats around me while I was younger and stuff. So that was always something that was around me. I just didn't actually dive into it until I was like 14 or 15.
Your brothers are also into making music, hip hop.
Yeah, my oldest brother's like a big graph writer in Chicago and shit. And
can you say his writer name or?
an Ami.
Or no, or...
No, we ain't gonna do all
okay,
that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you off the air.
True.
Yeah, I mean, you cab crew and shit like that, so...
No doubt. I feel like I met you in high school through something or someone. I feel like I remember somebody introducing me to you.
Yeah, I definitely remember that, too, for sure. It might have been through some graph shit.
Maybe, yeah, could have been. Yeah, could have been. Yeah, yeah. And Kari, what about you? What kind of...
When I was in high school, I think I was really trying to find myself, but I always loved music. I was rapping when I was like 16, and I was like sophomore year is when I started really trying to rap. But I was really like dressing nice, like I had rings on and like necklaces and earrings.
Hey, Von Steuben niggas was dressing super weird. This one portion of high school, I don't know what they were.
We were Flea.
They had a lot of rappers and shit. Loki that came out of Bond and shit.
Who, any folks that we wouldn't know now?
Smoko. That's like me and Smoko. That's one of the first people I started making beats with. And he went to Bond. That's also part of the reason I linked up with Kari. You know what I'm saying? Smoko was a part of Supreme Regime. Like, that was the main part of the collective when we were younger.
Can you guys break down? I'm sorry. Can you guys break down what Supreme Regime is?
Supreme Regime is... a legendary quintuplet of young gentlemen from Chicago. When we were in high school, it was really them. I was like the last entry, like the young head that got pushed into the group because they liked me. But it was Devin and Smoko Ono as the producers, and together they were Green Iris because they both have green eyes.
That's some corny high school shit.
They were Green Iris,
that
though.
Shit scratched off the face. And then you can't find any of that anymore.
Green Iris SoundCloud is up.
Oh, yeah,
go check them beats out. And then the rappers were Jesse Yamas. That's two names of the same guy. I'm sorry, Jesse, Paulo, and Loudmouth. And then I came in, and it was like four rappers. You know what I'm saying?
Damn. So
it was
super group.
Yeah, it was like a group, but it was just fun. It was just good energy, man. Like those are still some of my.
Yeah, it was like our first like still glances at, you know what I'm saying, actually like doing this music shit. Because I didn't even, you know what I'm saying, even when we were a group in high school, you still don't take everything serious. Like, I produced a song for Lucky back then, and like we were doing shows at Madison and U of I. That's how we met our manager with Sam too. Like, one of the first trips, how we got cool with him. We actually had a couple shows like on some slight college tour, and like we played Reggie's when we were 15 and stuff. So it was like our first like actual glance at music, but we didn't really know how serious it could be until like after high school, I feel like.
Yeah. So. Who are some of the influences, not only in terms of music, but, you know, you're a fashion icon, Kari, at this age. You know, so but seriously, like aesthetic influences, like who are some of the folks who have motivated you all then, now, at any time? But who are some of the folks that you kind of are paying or were paying attention to?
In high school?
Sure.
In high school, it was a super raw wave. Like, we were literally at every festival, like, you know what I'm saying, doing whatever to get into, hopping gates, whatever, you know what I'm saying. But during that wave, while we was in high school, it was like people like Kendrick coming out. All the TDE pretty much came out while we were in high school. Earl, that whole wave was coming out. So that kind of added on to like the music for us to be able to like express our shit and be able to do a couple more things. But like, I feel like we both been into music like since we were growing up our whole life, more before that though too.
Yeah, the influences go so deep. It depends on time. Like, we're both heavily inspired by like our environment, the people around us, like our family, our friends. Those are the influences on us, straight up, like our family.
And in what way? In what way do they?
Like
influence
for him, like he said, he's the youngest brother. You know?
I got three older brothers, so I've seen different ways that the city, you know what I'm saying, that they've approached it, and like, you know what I'm saying, hooping, doing that army, trying the college route, whatever, you know what I'm saying. So, like, I've seen a lot of it in the city, so I had a pretty good gist of what I wanted to do kind of with the music after just peeping them making beats and shit, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of, like, a good direction. My brother was, like, shooting photos and shit, so I'm, like, heavily inspired by my brothers, and, like, they always kind of just put the culture in front of me before I even realized that it was, like, heavily in my face because I was hooping a lot.
My parents, too, like, they're young and in the hip-hop scene in Chicago. When I grew up, my stepfather was a producer. And he just made beats on the MPC in the living room, had the studio set up, and his homie Akbar would come over, and Akbar
who, oh shit, I know
X-Men
Akbar.
Akbar. Yeah.
Yo,
what? That's my uncle, you know what I'm saying? Like, Akbar used to come spit in my living room.
He's a spitter.
Dude, so those are my earliest memories, man. Like, I would be sleeping, I would be in bed, it's my bedtime, but they out in the living room you know, Akbar is rapping, so I would hear them through the door, and those are my earliest memories, man. Him spitting.
That's tight. Beautiful, man. That's what's dude up to, by the way?
He was just at our last show at Emporium a couple weeks ago, man. He's
still rhyming?
I got some music coming up.
Yeah,
so my stepfather, rest in peace, Sconey, passed away. Him and Akbar were best friends, you know, and so Sconey's son, who's like my brother, we all link up. We just you know, work together and just still try to, you know, get it going, you know. It's cool.
That's like, really dope. Yeah.
So our environment really inspired us, you know.
So how did, because Supreme Regime broke up eventually, right?
Everything broke up. Everyone.
Okay. I don't know how to
That's like I was saying, like in high school, it was more so like, Supreme Regime was like us just like actually dabbling at the shit. So like, everybody's like, I went away to try to, you know what I'm saying, go to school a little bit and shit, and I ended up not being able to pay for it, so I came back. People were just going through life shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, everybody was just doing their thing growing up, so like, it wasn't the right time for it, because a lot of shit was just happening personally between the thing. It wasn't anything like
young. It was like we were a band.
Young. We were growing up and shit. We were young.
Our first band broke up.
Yeah, right.
But it was never anything like personal or anything. That was never like a thing that we like, oh, this is just over type shit. Like, it just kind of dissolved because we were growing up doing what we had to do on a day-to-day basis.
And you were in college. Did you? Because you're like a year younger, right?
Yeah.
What were you doing when he was away?
I was only away for when you were away, man.
I was away for like a semester, not even a semester.
Carter was crying. He was very sad about it.
I had just dropped out of high school. I stopped going to high school pretty much at the end of my junior year.
How did everyone feel about that choice?
I was alone on that choice.
It was an unpopular decision in your household.
Definitely unpopular. I actually, you know, so I was dealing with the backlash of that, to say the least. You know, I wasn't. Yeah, I was what, 17 and rapping for sure, but just, you know, not talking to my parents and just figuring my life out. It was a very interesting time. But then Hurt Everybody started like after that period. It was like Supreme Regime broke up. Like, I was trying to be a solo, just do my thing, try to figure things out. Started having my baby. And then Hurt Everybody started.
Right. Yeah. You were like around 19, right?
Oh, no. I was 17.
When it started?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'm only 22 now. How old are you, Devin?
I'm 24.
Okay.
Yeah. So you guys are young men. Hurt Everybody was a real run. I mean, that was, you know, that was a really, I think, fond moment that a lot of us here and people, of course, you guys have fans around the world, you know, that was an incredible run you all had.
That was like the fun time in the city in general. Like,
yeah, it really was.
Even besides us, it was like a show every weekend. Like, we were performing at damn near a show every weekend too, but like, you can't even do that nowadays. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different, but I feel like just because the music was ramping up in the scene in Chicago back then, like that whole run of it in general, like all those months, everything was just like more going and fun and shit back then.
So what did that mean at that moment to be in community with so many people who have put work into the world and to be a central part of that moment as performers, as creators? You know, what is the importance of that community for y'all?
From my perspective, it was fun, and it felt like we lived in the studio during that time. That might be what led to it ending, because we like were together all the time working for that stuff. Like, we worked just worked together all the time, made so much music and spent, you know, we really worked on that stuff. It felt like we were just making music is what we wanted to do. I don't know, it was weird. I don't think we felt like we were like, I don't know. What did it feel? It felt like we were just making music and doing it every weekend. It was weird.
Coming into shit, you see like people that have already been like scorned or like, you know what I'm saying, a little bit burned by past situations, and we were still so fresh into the game with shit. Like, everything was just chill. We were just making music, fucking with people, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and kind of winging it, seeing what happens.
Yeah, winging it, doing what we were doing. That's why shit was kind of fun. I think that's why people gravitated towards it. But I mean, same shit as now, you know what I'm saying? We're still doing the same things, winging it, having fun and shit. We're still young and still actually building our music and doing it. So it's cool to say that we came out so young out the gate and met all these people before they even got to do something, and, you know what I'm saying, actually get to work with people who are actually genuine friends.
Gain some experience.
Yeah, gain some crazy ass experiences. Like, to be young and see the shit that we've seen out of state and stuff, it's just good to put that notch like on our belt. I feel like going into this rap shit now, even like legally, financially, everything, you know what I'm saying?
I think it
just set us up properly to not fail.
That's stepping into what it truly was for us. Music has always been therapeutic for us. It's what we did to feel good. And like,
we were just doing that shit, and then we started seeing the effects of it actually paying off. So it was cool, you know what I'm saying? But still, at the end of the day, we weren't like, oh, we need this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, this wasn't no, like, I don't know, there was no like deadline on this shit for us, but
it didn't feel like we were playing a sport or anything.
Yeah, we were just chilling. I feel like we're still doing the same thing kind of now.
You guys had some very big looks at that moment. What were some, and I know you also had a bit of a, bit of a return, and I'm sure you've been asked the question about that return 1,000 times, so I don't want to ask that, but I do want to know, like, what were some of the highlights for you all as a group in that moment, because Chicago had a lot of eyes on it at that moment, and you all were kind of, you know, some of the, you know, preeminent voices, I think, in you know, this is only a few years, by the way. I mean, what years are we talking? We're talking about...
It was not 4 years ago.
Like 4 years ago. Okay. Yeah. Which, see, like I guess it, in, like, hip-hop years is a long-ass time, to be honest.
But, I was 19, he was 17, so yeah, it was like four or five years.
I was actually just starting to think about how it's turning into that was a long-ass time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's now becoming that was a while ago.
Right.
I think the most fun time out the shit, though, was just, like, traveling in general, you know what I'm saying? Like, even before then, I don't think... But just like a lot of people in Chicago, you don't really even leave your neighborhood too much when you're growing up. Like, the first time I ever went on a plane was to go to Vegas for a basketball tournament. So when we started doing this, heard everybody's shit and, like, rap shit, it was the first time I got to go out of town and play a show and chill and see a different environment that was, like, different than ours. So I think that was, like, the best shit about it. Nothing, like, none of the material shit. Just honestly, shows and having fun. And we really had, like, it wasn't just, like, our group, you know what I'm saying? We had a big-ass friend group behind it that was pushing this shit. So that shit was fun. Like, we would travel out of town to Wisconsin deep as hell, and it would just be a fun time, you know what I'm saying? It was just a good time always. So that was probably, like, my highlight of everything still to this day, you know what I'm saying? Just being able to travel off of something that's not super work-based, I guess. You feel me?
Yo, when y'all would perform Gang, though... That shit's so fucking lit.
Yeah.
Mick still performs that shit on tour.
Yeah.
I just see the video the other day. It's still lit. It's kind of good.
Yeah. But you had, like, a real charisma on stage that, you know, I remember I went to New York with y'all, and I never listened to you before, but I was convinced by you guys off, like, your live stage, like, your show, you know? And that was, I think, what really drew me in was, like...
We never practiced, too. So that's the crazy thing. It was literally just, like... Once we started doing the shows more and shit, we kind of realized, like, oh, shit. Like, if this song did well in this show and this... So we kind of just got our alignment together with that and made songs kind of oriented towards shows almost. But at the same time, we had our chill music and stuff, too. So we just had so much music that was, I don't know, hard-hitting that when we were on stage, it was us and all our homies, like, actually just turning up enjoying shit that we made, not like a performance, you know what I'm saying? It's not like we're going out there, this got to be on cue. Like, you're kind of just going out there winging and having fun, so.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing, us having fun. I think for me and Supa performing, it was, both of us were just like, it was cathartic for both of us, because, like, that's where all the hard work paid off, when we get to, like, scream on stage and jump and, like, yell at people. It was like a party, and right. It was always fun.
But you guys have such different delivery on stage, you know? That's what's, like, interesting to even look at y'all perform.
It was easy for me, because Supa is, his voice and the space he takes up on a song is super radiant and loud and active. So I get to just rap and chill and do what I want and not think about it too much and breathe, which is my style. Like,
yeah, definitely.
And it's funny you say that about the performances. When I was a kid, I used to want to be a rhythmic guitarist. Like, I used to want to be on stage, but, like, just chilling. I used to just want to be playing the music and having a good time on stage.
That makes sense given your rap style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like
very
you are.
Back.
Yeah, and in the, you know, you're very much in the cut and really rapping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could really rap.
Thank you, man.
You could really, because you could really write.
Well, yeah, but where does that pen come from? Because it's kind of crazy.
Me, I love music. I've listened to music for a long time, and then I listen to, like, writing or rapping? Like, what?
No, just
what,
like, your pen game. Like
writing?
Yeah.
Listening to songwriters. Like, and listening to different songwriters than rap. Not saying that you have to do that, but, like, that's just what I listen to, all kinds of music. So just hearing just different styles. There's so many songwriters that I like that just write crazy. I love songwriting. I actually, like, really, I'm a fan of songwriting.
Yeah.
So when I see something or hear something and that resonates with me, it's inspiring. If it's just, like, feels good.
I think you just got a natural gift for words too. Like, even when we first met him, like, he was saying, like, how he joined the group Supreme Regime, he was just making music, like, he sent me shit that he recorded off his phone, and I could just tell naturally, you know what I'm saying? When you know music, like, and you got that feel, you could tell when somebody really just need to be polished and they got it, regardless of the how actual the end product is, you feel me? So we motherfuckers already always knew how, what Kari was capable of.
Like, he just reminded me of the friends who helped me around that time too. Like, there were people who I would study like around me, like my close friends. Willis Chillin is one from Von Steuben. I went to school with him. He really helped me like get those basement vibes in. Like, just go in your friend's basement, write to a beat and rap that shit. Yeah. Keep doing that shit.
Yeah.
And his flow is impeccable. Him, Jesse Ford, his writing is crazy.
Jesse ended up being in Beach Jesus. So you guys probably heard that too. So.
Beach Jesus.
Yeah. That's what
I was like, the Bee Gees.
We went to high school in the 70s.
Yeah, I love writing.
But like, what are some songwriters you listen to for that reason?
He listens to that. Like, when we're in the car, you don't even play rap a lot of the time, so I don't know. You name some off the
so
wall.
So many.
Like, I've heard you play like Tame Impala. Or it was something like that, or like Modest Mouse. Or
Modest Mouse. That dude, his name is Isaac Brock. He's a great songwriter.
Have you been to a Modest Mouse concert?
I have. Yeah,
they don't dance. I've been before, and nobody at the shows dance.
I went to one, and it was at a festival.
It's
different. Yeah. I couldn't judge them.
Yeah,
I've seen some bands at festivals, and they sound like they do in a studio, and I'm like, you know, kudos.
That's difficult.
Yeah, that's
it's cool.
Wild.
I don't judge perform. You know, people.
Oh,
have,
not the performers. It was yeah.
So obviously, Hurt, you know, broke up. Mm-hmm. You all stayed together, mm-hmm. And it's clear. Just even, I love y'all. Interacting now, you guys have a real bond. I mean, how and why have you all chosen to continue to build and work together? And I know you guys work with other people, and we'll talk about what's coming, but you know, what is some of the reasons why you guys continue to work together, particularly to put out a whole ass another project, you know, Space Jam?
I mean, just in general, like, we've just always, like we said, like, when we were younger, this music shit wasn't like a thing to us. Like, we met through it kind of, but it wasn't like, oh shit, we gotta, this rap shit is this we got to do, like, you know what I'm saying? So we've just been chilling, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've literally been homeless together, you know what I'm saying? He's been homeless, slept in my crib, you know what I'm saying? We've been in a hell of situations.
Yeah,
where we were
remember.
Actual fam, you know what I'm saying? So like, that shit, it resonates deeper than music when we chill, you know what I'm saying? Like, just we got a real bond, and a lot of our homies, you know what I'm saying? We don't pick shit based on what you got going on. Like, a lot of our friends are real people that I fuck with, and I know no matter if this rap shit even panned out, they didn't give a fuck, they would still have my back regardless. And I think that's the case with us and a lot of other people around us. So
at the end of the day, we're family, like, and that's something that a lot of people don't understand about Hurt Everybody, is like, we essentially like met Super, you know, and started working because I loved Super's music. That's why.
How did you link with him?
I'll technically say with Sam.
Okay.
With Sam, I had heard of his music before because he's from Oak Park. I got a lot of friends in Oak Park, and I had heard his music. And then I just heard something on SoundCloud. He was just appearing a little bit more. But we linked up, and I loved his music. And I remember a lot of people were like, nah, his voice is a little weird. And I was like, nah, this dude is fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we linked up and just made music, and it felt good for the time being. So when it ended, it was just like, of course, me and Devin are still going to make music because we were homies before that, you know.
How did, like, music. Supreme Regime and Hurt Everybody, like, prepare you for, you know, striking on your own? Were you scared to do it on your own? Or, I mean...
People have always told me I should be a solo act. Like, my friends and like people who just like see me and, you know, they've always been like, you should work alone. And then when Hurt Everybody started, it was fun. So it was like, do that. That's fire. You know? So when it ended, I've always wanted to work alone. And I just like working with groups. It's fun. Because I think I've always wanted to be in a band, too, or something, you know? And I like collaborating. Music, I like...
Music is fun to collaborate, and it's easier to fill up a song when you got multiple rappers. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just it's a fun thing. So a lot of the time, shit happens naturally. Like,
and I feel like that's what it is. Like, we have something... I can't even call it a hobby anymore. We have something that we genuinely love to do, and, like...
Yeah, I feel weird when I don't make a beat. Like, if I wake up and I don't go to the studio for that day, I'm literally, like, itching the whole day, like, smoking and shit, like, damn, I didn't even make a beat or anything today. So that's just like...
It's like a release.
Yeah, it's like a release, you know what I'm saying? We just make music. Like, I think that's why also a lot of our friends gravitate to us, and we gravitate to each other, because we understand, like, we love music and shit, but And we love money too, you know what I'm saying? But that shit is not gonna kill us over some, over this dumb shit, you feel me? So it's like, we make music, and that's, since we've seen what we can get from music, then why not, you know what I mean? Like, we're not gonna sell out or do no weird shit like that, but like, why not take this as our full-time passion we've been doing anyways? Like, we've never even really worked just gonna a job say, ever.
My favorite people are musicians, you know? Right. I just hang around artists and musicians, so... It's like when you hang out with your friends, you kind of do the same thing or something, you know? But collaborating musically is just fun, and that's what's happened so far. But
how does that look like between y'all? What does that collaboration look like when you sit down to make an album like Space Jam or even subsequent records? Like, you know, how?
Patience. I mean, we could talk to each other, however, too. So, like, when I'm working with another rapper and I'm like, they're like, all right, loop the beat or some shit, and I gotta loop the beat and I can't finish something, it's not like, you know what I'm saying, you don't have the same bond as you do when you're just actually friends.
It's like having a conversation,
you know what I'm saying? Hold on, let me add this real quick, and I don't like that. You can be honest with it, and I feel like that always creates a good product. Like, I feel like anybody that has a bond in music like that is always gonna have a good end product, because you're not worried about the other person taking offense to you telling them to take some shit out when you're trying to create a good product just for music, not for like, oh, we trying to make this type of sound. So like, that's just how it
and I feel like that's maybe where rap is heading, like a proper marriage of rapper and producer. Like, rappers just respecting the producer respecting the rapper, and like working together for a common goal.
Well, that's
and
my it, favorite it, kind of relationship
it had been there
me too
though,
that's
too.
Been mine. That's what I'm saying, like, niggas like that, people always act like relationships like that before, like Pete Rock and CL Smooth, and, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Marley Marl used to really, like, conduct in the studio, and it was a privilege to be able to come sit in his space.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you got called into the studio, then you would also take his notes, because you knew that he was a maestro. Yeah. And part, that's, like, what the producer...
Even down to, like, people like Drake and 40, like...
Gucci.
That's why I love... Exactly. Yeah. Gucci, Zaytoven. Even people like Southside that are coming out and making collaborative projects... People didn't even know Southside was the person producing all the Flocka shit. Like, that was one of his producers. They were sitting there really in the hood making that shit, not on no, like, industry shit. So, like, that's why he can sit down and make a full body of project. I mean, a full body with, like, somebody like Gierbo and shit. I think that's always important to have, like, somebody that you could build an aesthetic with. But I don't think, I never also don't think that, like, you need one producer for shit. So, like, if somebody can collab with me and make some shit hotter, I'm not worried about, like, man, I only want my name on the name, because I don't really care about that shit at the end of the day, as long as it's gonna resonate and do well. So,
well, and you put out a project, 22 Summers, which is, if you can explain what that project is.
That was kind of like in the mix of all the End of the Hurt Everybody shit. I was chilling, I went and lived in New York for a little bit. Like, I had a homie that was going through some shit with his mom stuff, so I went out there and I was chilling with him, also just building and doing my thing. And at the same time, me and pretty much like my friends and my manager was saying, we were just talking about like what we should do to get some feedback or some like results in between waiting on sending beats out. Because if you're a producer, you always know, like, you send beats out, you don't even know if they're gonna get rapped on. And I work with Kari all the time, but it's like, that's what it is. We build that, but a lot of the beats that I make on some other shit can't be rapped on if I don't be able to send them out or work with somebody else. So I just wanted to fit an aesthetic that I could like call my own body of work. And
producers should put out projects like that's so tight.
Yeah, shout out to you too for helping me with the premiere.
That was but the King L song is like one of my favorites.
Yeah, he shot a video, like, he went out his way to shoot a video. Like, I appreciate him pulling up to do the song in the first place, and a couple people actually went out their way to shoot videos for the project, and that helped it on its own because they liked the songs themselves, you know what I'm saying? And that was cool too. So
I like when it's one producer and one musician, because then you get like the producer's narrative while you also get the, you know, like the writer's, you know, like the lyricist's narrative.
It's a proper marriage.
Right. But then also,
marriage.
So that's cool with y'all. But then when you put your project, I could see like all the different kinds of beats you can do.
I love being able to like touch a project after somebody already put vocals on it. Like, like you said with the King L song, like, we got in the studio a year exactly after the day that he got shot in his head, like on the day, the anniversary. So that quote that I put in at the end, like, I wasn't even in the song. I just thought about it after, like, because that he's what he said in his interview about feeling blessed about that. And the song actually ended up being about Long Live the Kings and people that, you know what I'm saying, that aren't here with us, which it could have been him at the time, which was crazy. So that's why I threw that quote in there. So I just love being able to go back and touch some shit and make it have like an actual nostalgic feel or something like that. Like,
so what can people expect from y'all moving forward? I mean, are you guys working on another project together, collectively, individually? If you guys can talk about what is forthcoming.
I think we will always like make projects together.
That's
like,
exciting.
That's good. Fun. Yeah. It's so fun.
I can rely on that.
Please do. Please do.
Care about that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think us just expanding and growing as artists and having fun with it, keep doing it how we've been doing it, but go harder. Like, we got a bunch of stuff planned this year. Feeling good. You know, after the Hurt Everybody stuff ended, we're so young and going. We've gone through so much in life, and this is like, this is where we just try to feel good. So like, that's what we've been doing for the past couple of years. You know, Hurt Everybody ended 4 years ago. We just been trying to keep doing what we love to do and just get our minds right. But we got so much stuff planned now. I got surprises. I got sneaky secrets and stuff.
Yeah,
it's tight.
Well, we were talking about Slime.
Yeah, he's dropping those.
Oh yeah, I'm dropping the tape with Slime in like 2 weeks. February 13th, that's coming out. And yeah, this is what we're really just talking about. It's just me and Green Slime.
Is he rapping too?
He has one.
Oh, I love when he raps.
One verse on it. He's on the outro.
So he does all of the beats.
He does all the beats. And he graces people with a beautiful verse at the
end.
That's
awesome.
And it's wonderful. I'm excited for people to just hear that. It's hip hop. It's dope.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's like, I feel like it's what rap need right now, because like, I'm not somebody that's like mad against the wave of rappers or whatever, because I appreciate a lot of music that's come out in a couple of years that and the range to be able to do whatever, but like, I still appreciate real rap shit. So like, you know what I'm saying? With Earl's album coming out, I mean project coming out, and with their project coming out, I feel like a lot of people gonna actually appreciate it coming out right now at the time it's coming out.
I feel like people want that too.
Do you guys take baths?
What the fuck?
Wow. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes?
Sorry.
You don't take a bath? You're not a bath type of guy?
I'm much more of a shower dude. Shower? Please,
like,
yeah.
You don't ever just soak? I
could
be,
not.
Baths are great in a really clean tub.
Yeah.
So, of course. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. You need to clean it up.
Yes.
You gotta have like a proper tub. Right. Like a proper, you know, bathing bath tub.
Yeah. I don't have one.
Porquet, though.
But listen to my project while you soak.
Okay.
I was like, what the fuck? Wow. This is
transition.
All right.
It's a proper soaking project.
Wow. Yeah.
You can soak. Do you smoke when you soak? Smoke when you soak.
It's a bar. Also, I really want this like Lush collab. You know what I mean? Like the Lush bath bomb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I need like, a bath bomb. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
You're going crazy. Thank you, Kevin. Like, we can collab.
Yeah, no, let's do it.
I'm dead ass,
for real, please.
I'm working on my merch. I'm dropping shirts and bath bombs.
Oh, let's go.
Yo, that's the best like merch ever.
That's tight.
Yeah,
we got
I'm
it.
With it.
Listen,
hey.
No, you can sell papers though, so that you can, you know, the papers while you in the bath.
Yes, a whole bath bomb kit.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yes,
get people clean.
Kit. I'm building my creative team right now. My marketing team. We are building a team.
We're applying. We got.
All right.
I haven't made a resume in my life, but listen.
It really sucks. I'm don't do
you.
It.
Thank yeah, you
do it.
So really much. I love Kevin. First of all, I love both of you guys. Throughout the years, you guys have been extremely supportive and have even helped me do things that I've wanted to
Listen,
do.
Man, it's out of love. It's out of love. So this Green Slime project is dropping. It has a name?
Yes, it's called
Operation Hennessy.
Yeah.
It's called Operation Hennessy. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sounds luxurious.
Yes. It's wonderful. I'm so excited.
We have to be in the bathtub smoking a joint and got a cup of Henny.
This is the bomb.
Stay alive in the bathtub.
I don't drink Hennessy.
Okay.
You don't.
I do not drink
Ironically.
Hennessy.
Oh, it's because it's you cutting out Hennessy. No more Hennessy. Operation Hennessy.
Right.
I never really drank Hennessy.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
I don't even like Hennessy. I think it's gross. I love tequila. But this project, so it's like there's like a lot of Life Aquatic samples in it, and it's not a Wes Anderson themed project.
Yeah,
We're not Wes Anderson people. Like, we're not like trying to do that.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of Life Aquatic samples, and Operation Hennessy is in that movie. If you watch Life Aquatic, it's when Bill Murray goes on. Jeff Goldblum's
boat and takes all of his shit
because their boat's about the like their boats are, they're running out of cargo.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, it's like a beautiful thing. It's like an experience.
Amazing.
It's fun.
And what about for you, Devin?
Like you said, we're gonna work on shit. Yeah, we got a follow up project coming up to Space Jam. We think about dropping a Space Jam too. We got hella songs collecting right now.
Yes.
And I'm working on another project, not a 22 Summers tour or nothing, but like another branch off, same base though. But at the same time, this year I'm gonna try to put out like a bunch of B tapes. I don't want to say lo-fi, like to put it too much in the category, but like just more chill shit.
I also love when producers do that. You know, when you get a sense of like what they
producers what getting more make. Love too now too. So that's why I want to do it more.
Please, we need that for sure.
Appreciate it.
All right, so we are. I want to ask this question. I want to introduce this Tara segment. I mentioned this. You didn't. I'm hoping I can do this.
I saw you text that. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So, Phyllis, for it could be any genre. You know what I mean? You could also change your mind in another, 5 seconds. But for right now, top 5 dead or alive artists. It could be any genre. Doesn't have to be just rappers. It could be paint. It could be
life artists.
It could be whatever. But individually, name names. Top 5 dead or alive.
That's tight. With?
It could be anything. It could be anything.
Anything? Oh shit!
Yeah.
Man, just off the dome.
Our tours.
Off the dome.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't think too much about it. Just who you rocking with right now, in this moment.
I'm gonna throw MF Doom out there first.
Please.
First and foremost.
Please.
I was 9 years old putting that nigga on my 2-track MP3s. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, his visuals, his beat aesthetic, like the fact that he never went with the actual groove of what was going on production wise, Mad Lib, everybody around him. Yeah, so I'm gonna put MF Doom in there.
Please do. Don't stop.
Man, we should throw out some. You throw out something.
No. They got to, each person has their own top five they walk with. Oh, yeah. 5 straight.
Yeah.
Damn, they can go back and forth?
Well, I guess they could because they're like a dynamic duo. Yeah. Kari, who do you add to this list?
I would have to say
Blueface.
You say Blueface? I mean, if that's your momentary top 5.
Yeah, I'm fucking Blueface, though. I'll fuck with
it. Yeah, me too.
So. Oh my god, that is so difficult. But I'm gonna say Kendrick Lamar is one of those people.
Yeah.
I want to say Prince so bad.
Say Prince. Of course. Why wouldn't you?
James Brown.
It's a hard body top 5.
Prince, Kendrick Lamar, James Brown.
Damn, that's like how you come
out Doom. You got one more.
This
is now a collective list.
This is now a collective five.
Is Doom the best rapper?
Doom
is in the top 5.
Yeah, I appreciate his production. If you ever listen to his beat tapes too, like you'll be like, what the fuck?
Like
a lot of shit Joey Badass has.
I think Quentin Tarantino is one of those. Like,
kind
of
creepy.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's creepy. Something might come out about him eventually. I'm not giving him no credit.
He's real loose with certain words he shouldn't be loose with.
A little rapey. Sorry.
All right, Devin, you gotta end the top 5 though. You got 4.
Oh shit, I'm gonna throw. We've only said rap and musician so far, so
yeah. But off the dome, could be anything.
Yeah, don't matter. Don't matter the genre.
This is terrible to do.
No,
my mind is just blank as hell.
It's top 4. You guys are doing the top 4. It's okay. Unless Kari, you got.
I'm gonna throw a rap group in there. Can I do that?
Please.
36 Mafia.
Hey, yeah, nice. Great.
Of all time, it's so difficult.
No, I like it though. It's also like it's the top 5 right
all
now.
The time, my so
all
like,
the time.
Exactly.
The
time. That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna throw top 5 right now, just because people will be sampling their shit.
Dave Chappelle.
Well, if we're gonna do comedians too,
you can do anything.
I love comedy too.
It's really artists who you are influenced by.
Take 36 Mafia. Dave Chappelle. Let's throw Dave Chappelle back on there.
Fair enough.
A little nice mix.
So, where can folks find you all on the internet?
At Mulatto Beats. Or everything, pretty much.
Yeah, you didn't make a joke the whole time.
Yeah. We would definitely go come here and soldier it out, but...
Yeah? I mean, look, we still have a few minutes. We spell it for folks. And this is on IG,
this
Twitter.
This is on everything. Okay. On Spotify, all streaming services, Instagram and shit. MULATTOBEATS.
I have a website. It is kariwithaq.com. And if you go there, I have all the links to all the stuff. But I'm pretty much Kari, Q-A-R-I. You can Google me.
I like your Twitter handle. It's like Iraq backwards.
Iraq backwards. That's how you spell my name. Q-A-R-I. Iraq backwards.
Nice.
But yeah, you can find me. I'm all over. On Instagram, which is like the important one, I think, is Chicago Kari. Cool.
Nice. Fellas, we are really excited for what is to come this year. Hopefully, well, we know February 13th. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, collectively, you know, hopefully sooner than later. Soon, but soon. We're really, really looking forward to what you all do and continue to do for this city and beyond. Thanks so much for being in the Corner Store.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate
Thank
y'all
you.
For having us.
Thank
too.
You so much.
Shit. Yeah. Yo, we want to thank DJ Exist for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the art.
Big ups, Todd Manley at WGN Radio.
And Max and Dami, the Corner Store interns.
Salutes to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
You can keep in tune with the Corner Store at cornerstore_pod on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
Also, you can stream and download the Corner Store wherever you listen to podcasts.
And please rate and subscribe and comment on iTunes.
Please, y'all, consider giving us those 5 stars.
Thank you for listening.
We're going to see you next week.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.